Hack the Entrepreneur is part of Rainmaker FM, the digital business podcast network. Find more great shows and education at rainmaker.fm. Today's episode of Hack the Entrepreneur is sponsored by Pipedrive, the CRM for small teams with big ambitions. Whether you are an entrepreneur or not, sales can be tough, but it doesn't have to be. With Pipedrive, the pain and frustration of tracking deals with email and spreadsheet is gone forever. Entrepreneurs love Pipedrive because it visualizes your sales pipeline, highlights opportunities and potential problems, ultimately ensuring important activities and conversations don't get dropped. Head over to pipedrive.com/hack to start your 30-day free trial today.
Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, hey, welcome back to another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me again today. I very, very, very much appreciate it. I am your host, John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. My guest today is an avid fisherman, author, consultant, and serial entrepreneur. He's been building online businesses for over 16 years. In this time, he has also helped some big companies leverage social media for leads and publicity. Brands such as FedEx, Sherwin-Williams, and Progressive Auto Insurance. He now helps thousands of authors launch and market their own books as the founder of the Author Marketing Institute. My guest has written countless books on business, social media, and marketing. He is also the host of another great podcast on this very network, Rainmaker.fm, called Authorpreneur. Now, let's hack Jim Kukral. I want to thank today's sponsor, Brand Bucket. You found your business idea. Now you need a name and a brand. One of the hardest parts of finding a good name for a business these days is finding a .com domain to go with it. They have the largest brandable marketplace with over 20,000 available names. Their value is unbeatable. All their domains have a fixed price, so there is no need to go through the arduous task of price negotiating. Quality is unparalleled, with every name has been curated by their naming experts to ensure maximum brandability. They'll make picking a name for your brand quick and painless. Everything has already been curated, so they have done the work for you. Right now, you can receive a $75 Envato Marketplace credit with a domain purchase. So after you secure your name, you can pick out a website theme and get your new site live in no time. And one really cool thing, Envato itself was actually named by Brand Bucket. Go to brandbucket.com/hack to take advantage of this offer and give a name to your next big idea. That's brandbucket.com/hack. Welcome back to another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. Today we have a very, very special guest. Jim, welcome to the show.
Hey, it's great to be here.
Oh, thank you so much for joining me. I think this is going to be a lot of fun.
I know it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's the attitude. All right, Jim, let's jump straight into it. Jim, as an entrepreneur, can you tell me what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
Failing a lot. My entire career is based around failure. let's be honest, right? I started the internet in almost 20 years ago now and started writing websites. I built Sherwin-Williams' first website. I built Ernst & Young's first website, you know, back in what, 94 or 93. You know, I fail consistently almost every single day. And every failure I've had has led me into having the success that I've had now as an entrepreneur. I mean, you have to be able to know how to fail and fail magnificently, right? You know, embarrassingly, right? And be able to get your butt off the ground and get back up and go again. So failure is the biggest thing that has helped me become an entrepreneur for sure.
I 100% agree with you. You need to know how to fail. Could you maybe walk us through how to fail?
Keep trying, right? So, you know, this is what stops most people from having success, in my opinion. I have this thing I do called the 13 reasons you're not as successful as you should be, right? And a lot of those things, there's a couple of things in there like blaming other people, right? Or you're convinced that they, in quotes, you know, is against you and is stopping you. Or you don't have the X factor, right? You're not pretty smart and in all those things, right? There's all these things that stop people from having success, and the fear of going out there and failing and people laughing at you. And if you're not out there actually putting stuff out there and trying, then you're never going to have a chance at success. You know, it's so cliche, but my favorite quote of all time is the Wayne Gretzky quote, "You miss 100% of the shots you don't take," right? It's so overused, but it's so true to be an entrepreneur. I mean, I have literally failed so many times over the last 20 years in the things that I've done, but every single one of those failures has brought me to a point where I've learned from it and I've had success because of what I did, and I got back up and I did. So try. And again, this is so cliche because people are like, I've heard this a million times, Jim. Yeah, everyone says try. But success only happens, you know, everyone gets so caught up in this. Well, I saw the one guy who built this app in his basement, and overnight he got 1 million downloads and it got bought by Facebook. And now he's a billionaire. And, you know, and then they go into this equation of being an entrepreneur, that this romantic dream, that's how it's going to happen. Well, that's so far from the truth, right?
Totally. Yeah.
It doesn't happen that way. It happens.
Well, I mean, people also buy a lottery ticket and win $60 million or whatever it is. Down in the States, you guys have insane lotteries where it's like somebody wins like $300 million, which is like, yeah, okay, so that's true. But that still doesn't mean you should just buy lottery tickets, because really the chances of winning is almost the same whether you buy a ticket or not. So counting.
Well, the odds of winning those lotteries here in the States is literally something like getting struck by lightning 7 times in a row.
But that's what I mean. That's the same as creating that app in your garage and having Facebook buy it for $200 million. It's basically the same odds. That's not how you should play the game.
No, you shouldn't. And there's other people too. So to expound on that is there's the people who think that, you know, they're going to get lucky, right? And then there's the people who don't want to have success because, you know, they look at other people who, and they're envious of their success. Well, you know, there's only a few people in the world who get born into the lucky sperm club, right? The lucky sperm club is those people who, like, let's say Donald Trump, who comes out and has family, has tons of money and resources and everything was handed to them, right? Mm-hmm. Now, of course, he worked hard later on his career, but he didn't start from nothing, right? So you have these people who are lucky, who have great circumstances and who have the ability to succeed. And then you have the people who, the real entrepreneurs, in my opinion, are the people who go out and come from nothing and have great success. And those are the people that really go out there and try. You know, I always like to say, there's the old fable of Sisyphus, Greek mythology, that he pushes the boulder up over the hill, right? He's doomed to push the boulder up the hill over and over and over again. And when you look at an entrepreneur, the successful entrepreneurs are the ones who push that boulder up to the top of the hill and then push it over, right? And my point on that is this. If you don't put the work in to try and push that boulder up the hill, you're never going to get it over the hill. And most people won't put that work in to do that. And that's what makes a successful entrepreneur someone who sits down and pushes that boulder up over the hill like everyone else won't.
Yeah, and I'm thinking out loud, which is great because this is a podcast. That's basically what I do. But I'm thinking that, like you're saying, how you have all these like failure after failure after failure after failure after failure. But my guess is that if you have 1,000 failures behind you, Jim, you must have at least 1,001 wins, right? Enough. There's always got to be at least one more so that you are at least moving ahead somewhere. You're at least managing to pay the bills, doing it, right? I think when people get frustrated, like you said, that somebody might be like, oh, I've heard this so many times. It's hard to hear the whole failure porn thing if you haven't even had one small win or what you consider a win, you know what I mean? Which is hard for people when they're trying to get started, because I think they're looking for that big win and they fail to look and be like, oh, well, this is a win and this was a win and this was a win, but they don't count it as necessarily a win. But I think what you're trying to say is that every day, even, you're going through small failures where you make a mistake or things screw up, but you just kind of bounce off it and keep going, right?
Yes. And to expound more on that is, you know, look, I always bring it back to what I like to call the pain index. So let's say that you go into the hospital and the doctor and the nurse says to you, what's your pain level? And they say on 1 to 10. And you say, I'm at an 8. When I had my kidney stone, I was at a 10, right? So I always like to say this to people who want to be an entrepreneur, because some people may not, they think they want to be an entrepreneur, but they don't really buy into all the things that have to happen for you to be there. So I always ask people, what's your pain level, right? Because maybe you're at a job right now and you get paid well, but you hate the job. Maybe you hate the where you are in your life and you're not controlling your own destiny. And you have to make this decision of what your pain level is. Is it a 2? Well, then guess what? If your pain's that low, the odds that you are going to put in the work and do the failures to get past that are probably pretty low. But if your pain level is at an 8 or higher or a 6 or higher, you know, you're going to be able to say to yourself, wow, this really stinks. And now I need to make a conscious decision to make an attempt to become this entrepreneur and change my life the way I want. So that's how I look at it.
So what about if you project that pain level? Because right now, obviously, things go well for me. My business is great. I don't have to really do that much besides podcast and get paid to do it. But to me, I think, what if like I was on my deathbed like 10 years from now or 20 years, whenever that happens to be, I don't want to look back. That pain of sitting there wondering, what could I have done? What could I have accomplished? What like work could I have put out to the world and helped other people with or made some sort of impact? To me, that's the pain is kind of in the future. Does that make sense?
It does, but it's different for everybody. So everyone,
I know, because sometimes our pain level right now isn't, it's cushy. It's good. Things are kind of good, but I also wish that it was something else, so, but not enough.
Yeah. So, I mean, it kind of comes back to, you know, an examination into your life and what you're looking to do. So I'll give you my example. I wrote a book called Business Around a Lifestyle. And the whole premise of the book is, I'm building a business around the lifestyle I want. So I am an entrepreneur who has built a business around the things I want to do, which is spend a lot of time with my kids while they're growing up, not have to have a boss, right? Not have to go into an office and work in a cubicle. I mean, my pain level was so high from having to do those things when I first started out in my career. And I said, I don't want to live the rest of my life this way. And I made a conscious decision to go out and build a business online around the lifestyle that I wanted. And people usually take it backwards. You know, we're taught from birth that you should go out, get an education, get a job that perhaps you don't like, stay in the job just so you can make a ton of money and be unhappy. But that's just so the exact opposite of what we should be teaching our children is you should be going out and doing something that you love and building a business around the lifestyle that you want to have. But it's drilled into our brains since we were little kids. Go out and get a job and just do what everyone else does. And I think that's the exact wrong thing to teach people.
Yeah, I agree. So let's go back then. So you mentioned you built Sherwin-Williams' first website. You built a business around a lifestyle that you wanted, and you've been at this game a long time. So Jim, there seems to be this time in every entrepreneur's life when they realize one of two things. Either they have this calling to make this difference in the world, or as might be your case, you found that you simply just couldn't work for somebody else anymore. Could you tell me what side of the fence you fall on and when this was, like at what stage in your life you realized this about yourself?
Well, you know, like most people, I got out of college and I went to work for somebody else. And I can tell you the exact moment I knew I never wanted to work for anyone else again in my life. And here's exactly what it was. I was building Sherwin-Williams' website. I was working 16 to 18 hours a day at this company and sleeping in the office. And it was Christmas time. I had worked for the last 9 months to create this huge account for our business, millions and millions of dollars. Me and a couple other people, I'd given every ounce of energy to building this business. Christmas bonus time comes. I find out that the two owners of the company were gone. It was the day of the party, the Christmas party. I'm like, man, I can't wait to get my Christmas bonus tonight. It's going to be huge. I kicked butt. And I found out where they were all day. They went to the furniture store and they came back in two giant semi trucks and spent $130,000 on furniture for their offices. And I was like, okay, whatever. Then I got my Christmas bonus check and it was like 2% of my salary, which was like nothing at the time. Yeah, I think I was making like, you know, $18,000 a year, you know, straight out of college. And I almost cried. I did, because I said, oh my God, this is not the system I signed up for. I busted my butt for these people and they gave me $300. And that was the exact moment I knew I never wanted to work for anyone ever again, because I want to control my own destiny. So, you know, everyone's got a different story, you know, about that. And everyone's going to have their own pain point and moment in their life where they realize. And a lot of people get scared, though. You know, I was scared, too, but I busted my butt on the side while I had that job to create the business I have. And by the way, it didn't happen overnight, right? You know, it happened over a 10 to 12 year span where I was able to build this lifestyle. And so, you know, thinking that you can just go out and all of a sudden create something and be successful overnight just doesn't happen.
Yeah, exactly. Excellent. All right, Jim, let's move on to work. Today's a work day. You have this lifestyle sort of business, but you also do a lot of things. So I would love to know what the first, say, 30 minutes of today, your work day, look like and consisted of to set you up to do the things that you needed to do within the certain amount of time you had.
So the way I've designed my lifestyle and my business is I run websites. So I used to be a consultant. I used to own agencies, but I've gotten it down to a point where I build a passive income lifestyle. So I have a membership site where people subscribe to my membership site to learn how to write books and how to market books. And they pay me a fee to access the tools and training on the site. So when I wake up in the morning, it's simply checking what customers may have some issues with the site. And then I check my email. And then it's mostly just working on projects for the business. How do I create some new tools, some new videos, some new content that I can put up that attracts new customers, marketing for the site? So, I mean, I always like to tell people this. I could literally work from, and I've done this, by the way, I'm a big fisherman. I could literally work from a phone standing waist deep in water fishing, because I can run my entire business from email. You know, I don't have to be anywhere. I could be sitting anywhere in the world and run my business because I've designed it that way. And that's really the power of the internet. You know, being able to teach what you know, help people figure out how to do things and solve problems and solve their problems using the power of the internet. So that's what kind of my day consists of, making content, doing marketing, building tools. But I'll be honest with you, the way I have it built right now, I probably really do about 2 to 3 hours of work every day. And that's about it.
Nice. That's just enough.
Yes.
So you don't feel lazy. Your business still grows and you get to do the focused work, not the also the other 5 hours of just wasting time.
Well, let me follow up on that just a little bit too, because people are going to go, well, Jim, you're lazy. Okay. Well, yeah, because that's the way I designed it.
Yeah, I am.
So, you know, the people like, I know right now that if I wanted to, I could make 10 times the amount of money I'm making right now because I could go work for an agency or a big corporation, or I could build up. I mean, I owned a 150 person agency, you know, 15 years ago. I hated it. Could I be making a ton more money right now? Yeah. At what expense? At not being able to coach my kids' youth sports games, at not being able to see them at the end of school every day, and not being able to drop them off at school, at not being able to take a day off and go fishing when I want to. Sorry, I am not interested in the lifestyle of me being a slave to some corporate boss who wants to tell me what I have to do. So yeah, I don't make as much money and I'm not going to retire anytime soon, but this is more important to me. My lifestyle is more important to me than a paycheck.
Yeah, I love it. So you mentioned how you work 2 to 3 hours a day now. You take care of your customers because you run a membership site, not like an agency, which is beautiful. It's like the lifestyle business dream, the membership site. And you said you just now focused that time on obviously podcasting to find more potential customers, but then projects within the membership site or things that you want to sort of focus on. So let's talk about the projects. And that can be anything you determine that is something you want to now put your time, effort, and resources into. But I would love to know the thought process you go through in determining at this stage in your business, what is a new project that is worth taking on?
Well, one of the biggest mistakes I've made early on was not laser focusing into a niche, right? So now I have, in the last 6 years, I've focused into the space of author marketing, helping all these millions of people who are writing books helping them figure out how to sell those books and prepare those books and have success as an author. So one of my biggest mistakes early on was not just finding that niche and just hammering it, right? And once I did that, my business exploded. But to back to the point of having a membership site, you know, there are two reasons people use the internet, and two reasons only. Number one is to be entertained, and number two is to have a problem solved. That's why Google is the number one search engine, because they are the world's biggest and best and fastest problem solver. You go to Google and you say, I'm looking for a plumber in Cleveland, Ohio, and Google gives you the fastest, most relevant results. Okay? Entertainment comes on the YouTube side and videos and music and all that stuff. So if you think about creating a lifestyle business, an education business, you just need to figure out how to solve people's problems. Let me give you a good example. There is a business out there called backyardchickens.com. This guy has built a mega million empire off of helping people who want to have chicken coops in their backyard. And everyone's like, you're kidding me, right? No, I'm not kidding you. There are millions and millions of people who want to have chickens in their backyard, either in urban settings or even in rural settings. And this guy solves their problems by teaching them how to raise chickens, how to build a chicken coop, how to do this, how to do that. So someone comes in and tells me, well, I don't know about anything, Jim, that's valuable to anyone. Then I tell you that story, right? Let me tell you another story. There was a kid, this is probably 10 years ago now, who was playing his PlayStation, and he's from Australia, and his PlayStation broke. The yellow light came on and he couldn't play video games anymore. And he went on the internet and he found out that in order to fix his PlayStation, he was going to have to send his PlayStation in and wait 3 to 4 weeks for them to return it in order to fix it. So what did he do? He opened up the PlayStation, tinkered around with it, figured out how to fix it, right? Then he built a website called, I believe it was like yellowlightplaystationfix.com. And he put a guide up for $30 that you could find and buy from him, a PDF that shows you exactly how to fix your PlayStation. And the kid made hundreds of thousands of dollars. Why? Because people had an immediate problem. They went to a search engine, looked for a solution to that problem, and he offered the answer. People will pay for solutions to their problems. And if you have this mindset as an entrepreneur and you combine that with being on the internet, you can have a lot of success.
Full disclosure, I bought that guide.
Did you? What was it called? I forget. Was it something
I can't even remember. I'm wondering if I could find it somewhere. That was before Dropbox and everything.
It was like Yellow Light Fix something.
Yeah, it was. And it was hilarious because it was literally what happened to like 90% of PlayStations at one point. Just this happened. And this, it was either you could buy another one for hundreds and hundreds of dollars, or you could fix it yourself for like 20 or 30 bucks. That was it. It was brilliant. It was like the most immediate need people had, and just this kid figured it out. I love it. So is that what you do though? Like now, like we didn't get specifically what you do within your business. How do you determine when a project is worth doing? Like, do you listen to your audience? Cause that sometimes they don't know what they want. They think they know what they want, but they don't totally know what they want always.
Well, my business, I've had success with a couple different things. Number one, we just talked about figuring out what your audience's biggest problem is. Okay. Now, what I have found out is that most audiences, most people, and one of the biggest things you can do to have success is saving people time. People don't have a lot of time in our busy lives now. There's so much going on. So if you can create a business that solves people's problems by saving their time, you're going to have a lot of success, right? So I'm in my site called authormarketingclub.com. We have a site that does tools and training about how to market your books. And so we tracked every author, you know, we have over 27,000 members, and they come to learn about how to market their books, because you put a book up on Amazon and then boom, you're expecting it to sell millions of copies and it doesn't. So you're looking for a solution. So one of the ways to get your book better is to get reviews on your book, but getting reviews is tough. So we created a tool that helps find reviewers for you and on Amazon so that you can reach out to those people and then ask them if they want to review your book, right? So now doing this manually through Amazon would could, I mean, you could spend months and months doing this. The tool I built solves that problem. It helps them find those reviewers within, you know, a half hour. So what would you rather have? You want to go through the process of spending 6 months looking for these people or do it in half an hour? And that's just one of the tools. So saving people time is a huge way to do it.
So you come up with the idea that, and it's, I think, very well known. I mean, I'm about to launch my first book, and yes, I expect to sell millions of copies.
Yes.
totally no. But reviews is massive. Reviews on iTunes with podcasting is massive, right? So you determine that this is a pain point and an issue, then you come up with a way to solve it. Do you then just develop that idea, that tool, or do you go ask people, or do you test it in some way? Like, that's where people get stuck, I think, is I think I found a pain point, but does the idea that I have to solve this pain point, does it actually work? And should I develop it first or should I ask people first?
Well, you can do a little bit of both. You can ask people and make sure that the pain point is proven, right, first before you go. But there's that critical point in being an entrepreneur where you have to put the investment in to make it happen. The reason I don't have so much, hardly any competition against myself is because I've spent a lot of time and a lot of money developing tools that other people aren't willing to do. I built a business, right? I pushed that boulder over the hill. I'm Sisyphus, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, let's say you're working at a job you don't like right now and you have this great idea to solve problems and save people time. But until you actually push the boulder up over the hill and find out if people want it, then you're never going to know. And that's what stops most people from truly being an entrepreneur is going out there and having the chance to fail and taking the chance and putting the time and the investment in to make it happen. And that's why most people don't really get that boulder up over the hill because they just give up.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. All right, Jim, this has been a lot of fun. I want to wrap up with a question that I like to ask all my guests. It's this idea that I'm dealing with called the entrepreneurial gap, or that's what I'm calling it anyways. So we'll use that for now. But it's this idea as entrepreneurs, as dreamers that we are, right? We're always sort of projecting our success and ourselves into the future. So setting goals and ambitions, and our success will happen in 3 months when that book comes out. I'll finally be success. When in a year from now, when I get to speak on this certain stage or I make a certain amount of money per month, I'll be successful. But before we ever get there, we set bigger, loftier goals into the future and we never quite get there, which of course we have to do this, but sometimes we end up living in this gap where we're never successful. And sometimes we also, I think, fail to look back at everything we've come through. So you've been at this game a long time. You've done many transitions through your career and what it is you want for a business. But I would love it right now, Jim, if you would turn around, look back at everything you've done, everything you've learned, everything, the failures, the wins, and just tell me exactly how you feel about everything up till this point.
Well, everything up to this point has worked out how I planned. Not really, joking. Nothing worked out how I was planned. If I had to go, are you asking if I had to go back?
No. I really want you to reflect on how it is. None of this in the future. I don't care where it's going and when you'll be happy. Just right now. How do you feel about it?
I feel great about it. Like I said, I've built the business around the lifestyle that I want. And it took a long time, but I certainly feel great about it. Am I going to regret, you don't want me to talk about the future, but am I going to regret not having a big giant ton of money sitting in a bank account someday when I'm retired? Probably. But am I also going to look back when I'm 30 years from now and go, what the hell was I doing spending all my time and energy at these things I didn't want to do? And I made a ton of money, but so what? So make that decision, right? And I made that decision and I made it, you know, at several different points in my life. It was, you know, the point where I realized I didn't want to work for people anymore. It was other points where, you know, you see somebody, I did a TED talk where I talk about this young father of children, you know, wasn't living the life that he wanted and he passed away and his kids found him. And that story made me cry. I cried on stage when I told the story because I thought about that and I said, my God, I don't want to be that person who wasn't there to connect with his kids. I don't want to be that person who wasn't there and part of everything. So my advice is to, you know, if you want to do what I've done, you know, get that boulder up over the hill and fail a lot and solve people's problems. I mean, that's kind of been the formula for how I've gotten to where I am.
I love it. I love it. All right, Jim, we've got to talk a lot about your business in passing, but could you specifically tell the listener where to go find out more about you and your business?
Yeah, if you want to watch my TED videos or see any of my other stuff that I do, it's at jimkukral.com. That's JIMKUKRAL.com. If you want to see me cry at the end of the TED video, you can go there. If you want to learn, if you're an author or you're thinking about writing a book, head on over to authormarketingclub.com. And we have a free membership. There's lots of free stuff, but you can also become a premium member and access some of the tools we have.
Excellent. So that's authormarketinginstitute.com?
Yeah, that one too. That's kind of the umbrella site. Okay. Authormarketinginstitute.com. That'll work.
Okay. And Authorpreneur Podcast. And what else? The Author Marketing Podcast and Sell More Books Show, as well as jimkukral.com. I will link to all that in the show notes, so they're very, very easy for you to find. Jim, thank you so much for stopping by. Thank you so much for the brilliant conversation. And just please keep doing what you're doing, because it really is awesome and inspiring to watch.
Well, thank you very much for having me, and I'm glad to be here. And I hope everyone goes out there and figures out their pain level and makes it happen.
Love it. Thanks. Thank you so much, Jim. That was an excellent conversation that I really, really, really enjoyed. And I'm glad. I don't remember if I talked about this. I think I did, but I just love the whole authorpreneur thing. I really do, because 5 years ago, 10 years ago for sure, but somewhere in that range, this was not possible. You wanted to be an author that like built a business around it. You had these gatekeepers, right? You had these people in the way that you had to get to buy into your idea and decide that you had a big enough platform that you could write and be published by them. This doesn't exist anymore. Yeah, I love it. And I love these things that if you really just put your mind to it, you can do it and just start writing and writing and writing, publishing to Kindle, listening to people like Jim, because Jim's proof. Jim's done it, and now he's helping others, and I just love it. I really, really do. It's like bloggers, these people who are creating businesses out of these digital assets that never could have existed even 10 years ago. That, to me, is mind-blowing and awesome and something that we should all be taking advantage of. But I went back and listened to this conversation. I really, really enjoyed it. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. And there was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 spots where I thought maybe something was said. And I went back and listened. And there was very clearly one thing that Jim said. That one thing. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
Some people may not, they think they want to be an entrepreneur, but they don't really buy into all the things that have to happen for you to be there. So I always ask people, what's your pain level? Right? Because maybe you're at a job right now and you get paid well, but you hate the job. Maybe you hate the where you are in your life and you're not controlling your own destiny. And you have to make this decision of what your pain level is. Is it a 2? Well, then guess what? If your pain's that low, the odds that you are going to put in the work and do the failures to get past that are probably pretty low. But if your pain level's at an 8 or higher or a 6 or higher, you know, you're going to be able to say to yourself, wow, this really stinks. And now I need to make a conscious decision to make an attempt to become this entrepreneur and change my life the way I want. So that's how I look at it.
And that's the hack. Jim. What a interesting and quite brilliant way of looking at this. And so I've always looked at it as, we all have time if we want. I've talked to people who have started businesses on the side with high, high pressure jobs, with new families, with so many things going on, and still decided to do it. And it's always, I've always thought that the only reason why you wouldn't is because you want to do other things more than you want to start a business. This is for people who are working, want to get out of it, they think, but they don't think that they have the time or the resources or the skills, whatever it is. And it's, you talk to somebody and it's like, well, I just binge watched this on Netflix and I just watched all the baseball games and I just watched all the hockey games and I go and do this with my friends and that stuff's all great. But until you want to completely transform your life by building yourself a business that then allows you to do other things, until you want to build that business more than you want to do anything else, any of those other things, at least for a year or two, then it's not going to happen. And so the way Jim says it, I love this because it's the pain index, right? Lots of people talk about wanting something. And I don't buy into the whole you're not an entrepreneur, that you're only born one. I totally do not buy into that. But I do buy into the fact of, oh, I would love to. I don't like my job. It's not rewarding. I'm not doing work that matters. Those are all super, super, super valid reasons. Those are reasons you should start a business. But if you don't totally believe that, if the pain isn't above the 6-level threshold, like Jim says, you won't want it bad enough. You won't put in the work and you won't do it. But really, all it takes is that. And unfortunately, pain is, if you want to get really deep on it, pain is really, I mean, a lot of it in our heads. We can have mind over matter. So you can actually force yourself, cause yourself more pain mentally of where you are and want it bad enough that you break that threshold of pain that you actually will be willing to put in the work that it's going to take. There's no way you can build a business in a month. You can't. You can't build it in 2 months or 3 months probably. It's going to take a long time. And what's the saying? It's entrepreneurs are people who will work for a year or two like other people will never work so that we can live the rest of our lives like nobody else will get to live. Something like that. I butchered it. But it's the idea that we work our asses off now like most people will never do. But then we get the reward like I get to enjoy now. And I get people saying you're lucky and wow, it's amazing. It's like, yeah, but I worked harder. I worked like you would never work. You could step up and work. And this is the whole idea is that you just really have to do that. So Jim, thank you for that and for allowing me to rant on that. I really, really, really enjoy it. All right. Hacktheentrepreneur.com. Go there, please. Get on the website. And no, get on the mailing list. Once you're on the website, get on the mailing list. There's tons of places to join. You can get different PDFs and things, something that you want, but it all goes to the same list. On that list, you can respond, reply to any email. Come straight to me. Reply. I've started a Facebook group. There's 130 people in there. It's called HTE Insiders. Completely free. Amazing people in there. We have brilliant, cool, funny, awesome conversations, and we answer each other's questions during the day. And I'm going to be using that for my street team sort of thing, if you want to call it, for the new book coming out in December. And I'd love to have you in there. I'm not going to be spamming you stuff. It's a great group of people on Facebook, a place you're already on, and it's totally free. So hacktheentrepreneur.com. Get onto the email list. If you're already on my email list, hit reply to any of the emails that have ever come to you, and it comes straight to me. Ask for access to the group. I will send you a link as soon as I get the email. All right. Thank you so very, very much. I really do truly appreciate you stopping by. And please, until next time, keep hacking the entrepreneur.